story of David. All of us, right? Most of us. Most of us are familiar with the story of David. David exhibited great faith before his God, and he was well beloved by God. There is something that Brother Dave Wilson put on Facebook one time that I was reading, and I noticed what he said about faith. And there's nothing, I'm not exactly sure how you put it, but there's nothing that we can do to please the Lord anything better than faith, than us trusting him, believing him. It's what honors him, it's what pleases him, and he honors faith. And even in the most unusual circumstances, God honors faith.
Amen.
I've known people to walk out completely healed out of some of these fake healing services, not because of the guy who was making all the money doing the healing, but because that man believed that Jesus could heal him. And he walked out completely healed. I've heard of things like that before, and I believe them. Do I see them happening all the time? I don't see them happening all the time, but I do believe that God works, and I believe that he honors faith in a great way. I really do.
Amen.
And, you know, David was a man after God's own heart. He believed his God. It didn't matter what stood in his way. He was confident in his God, and God was honored by this. But there was a time when David began to fall away. All right? And I want you to notice just some of the things that are in this passage right here. And I want to encourage our young people to always stay close to the Lord, no matter what difficulties, challenges may come into your life, no matter how difficult the situation may be. Don't forsake your God. There are countless young people. I'm speaking to young people here, and you know, the sad thing is it's likely that there will be young people within the sound of my voice right now who will not heed what I'm saying and will walk away from God and try to choose their own way without God's help. And I'm here to tell you that that is a poor decision in your life. However it may seem that there's no point in church, when it may get to that place where you feel like, you know, I've outgrown church, you haven't. Church is always a necessity for you, and it's always going to keep you going in the right way. One of the reasons why young people leave church is because they're going to church for all the wrong reasons. It's important that we go to church because we recognize that Jesus Christ is our helper. He is our fortress. He's our shield. He's what will guide us on this difficult path through life. One of the reasons why young people have a hard time listening to the older ones, the experienced ones, is this, is because they have not yet experienced the countless troubles that will come our way. The Bible says man's days are few days and full of trouble.
Amen.
I didn't quote it exactly right, but that's pretty much what the Bible says. The Bible also says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." You will be able to find lasting peace in the midst of trial, in the midst of tribulation, as long as you're abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ, as long as you're making him number one in your estimation, in your life. And I want you to notice, David put his faith in God, stood before a mighty giant, took the giant's sword, cut the head off of that giant, and brought it to the future city of Jerusalem. It says that he brought it to Jerusalem. At that particular time, it was called Jebus. But later on, he conquered that city, and it became Jerusalem later on. But David had faith in God. He did not have a whole lot of troubles. He did not have a whole lot of pressures in his life. The only job that he had was to obey his parents. The Bible says that children only have one commandment. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, All right. Now, I'm not saying that you're exempt from all other laws. What I'm trying to say is this, that the responsibilities that you have are to honor your father and mother. It's to obey your parents. There's really not a whole lot to that. When Jesse told David, "David, I want you to go out and I want you to tend to the flock. I want you to tend to the sheep." David said, "Yes, sir." And he went out there and he tended to the flock. There wasn't a whole lot of things for him to do. And so he wrote psalms. He brought a harp with him, entertained himself with a harp, wrote things down in his script. The Bible says that when he took the stones out of the brook, that he put it into his bag and into his script, which means he had paper where he wrote music with it. David was obedient to his father, and look, so much so that even when it came a time when Samuel came to Jesse's family and said, "I want you to bring all of your sons over because God has anointed one of them to be king." Jesse brings them all over, stands them before Samuel, and of course, you know the story. He goes down the entire line and says, none of them have been chosen to be king. You wouldn't by any chance happen to have any other sons, would you? And Jesse said, "Well, yes, I do. But I would have never imagined you would have picked him." He said, "Well, bring him." And he brought David. David comes from the field, stands before Saul and before Samuel and before his brothers, and he is anointed king right in front of that whole family, right in front of his dad. Based on the Bible, as soon as he was anointed king, dad said, "Okay, you've been anointed king. Now get back out there and tend to that flock." And you know what David said? "Yes, sir."
Amen.
You know, a lot of kids today would say, "Now, hold on a second, Dad. You realize that I've just been anointed king. You realize that you're going to have to pay homage to me, right? You better start getting used to it because I'm about to sit on the throne." But not David. David was a man after God's own heart. You see, Jesus was Lord over all, but he made himself of no reputation. Took upon himself the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. He could have done all sorts of things that he wanted to do, but he chose to obey Dad. And because of it, the joy that was set before him, he was able to endure the cross, despise the shame. He was able to go through any kind of trouble. He said that "You have left me alone, but I am not alone because the Father is with me." Jesus was happy. He was peaceful. He was joyful. That's really what we're looking for. We're looking for peace. We're looking for acceptance. That's why a lot of people are looking for love. Do you know that's the most Googled word? I don't know how many of you use Google, but when you use the Google search engine, that's the most Googled word on the Google search engine is love. People are looking to be loved. They're looking to be accepted. They're looking to be secure. They want to know, am I going to be stable? Am I going to have the money that I need? This is why young people leave church, because they say, "Now, wait a minute, I've just been offered a job by this company, and this company is telling me that I should work on Sundays." Look, I'm here to tell you that you need to say, you must say to them, either you not let me work on Sundays or I can't take the job.
Amen.
Because it is not worth your life to take a job to earn a few measly paychecks and to ruin your life because you miss church. David chose God over any other type of opportunity. He served and he continued to serve. But then there was a time when David began to get distracted. Things got a little bit more difficult with him. He was just a kid. See, David was around the time that he killed the giant. He was, on average, your age, and I'm speaking to the young people, David would have been sitting at Sunday Night Pride with the rest of the young people. That was the age that he was. But when he began to get a little bit older, found himself a wife, all right, had some more challenges, had some more difficulties, had some more pressures, had a jealous father-in-law, All of a sudden, he began to focus on the cares of this world, and his focus on God began to dwindle. I want you to notice what it says chapter 19. And Saul spake to Jonathan, 1 Samuel chapter 19, let's turn there. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee. Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee word very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, As the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things, and Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. And there was war again. David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, and he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. What David should have done is this. God has anointed me to be king. The fact that he was anointed by a prophet to be king is a guarantee that he was going to survive anything. But because of the pressures that came into his life, and young people, you are going to face pressures in your life that are going to cause your focus on God to shift, and you're going to begin to focus on problems. It's going to be like Peter. Peter started in the boat. He said to the Lord, Hey Lord, tell me to come to you. He trusted God's word. God said, come. Amen. Peter stepped out on the water, began walking on water. Why? Because the Father, Jesus, said, come. And he was walking on water, but he got his focus off of Jesus and began to focus on all the trouble about him. And that's when he began to sink. And young person, you will sink if you get your eyes off of God.
Amen.
Look, I'm going to tell you, I see it time and time again. Young people, they're coming to church on a regular basis, and all of a sudden the pressures of life begin to take over them, and suddenly they begin missing church service. They begin to miss a church service here, a church service there, and it begins to be less and less, and we see them less and less, and suddenly we see them again no more. And it's years later, and my wife will tell you, we've had several phone calls from young people years later, who said, I wish that I had listened.
Amen.
Young girls who are caught up on drugs. Boys who are depressed, ready to commit suicide.
Yes, sir.
People who have been committed to mental institutions. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you the truth.
Amen.
That there's an ugly world that hates you out there that's going to lure you and try to tell you that it loves you, but it doesn't. It's going to suck you out for all that you are, and it's going to spit you out when it's done with you. But the Lord Jesus will not do that.
Amen.
Look, Jesus came to Peter and he said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And he wasn't just speaking to Peter. He was talking about all of them. Satan hath desired to have all of you, that he may sift you as wheat. Young people, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And he's going to come to you in the form of your favorite things. He's going to come to you in the form of boys. He's going to come to you in the form of jobs. He's going to come to you in the form of girls. He's going to come to you with all these different distractions. And he's going to say, you want this, don't you? Yes, I do. Well, then come and take it. And he's going to allure you and allure you. The Bible says that it says every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Amen. And enticed. Can I tell you something, young person? Satan has a profile of every single one of you, and he knows exactly what it's going to take to get you to walk away from God. It's like fish bait. He's going to put it on that hook, and he's going to lower it down into the water, and he's going to say, this is the young person I want right here, and I'm going to catch him. Satan's already determined in his mind that he's going to catch you. He's got your name written on that hook. He's got your name written on that bait. And he is going to catch you unless you stay close to God. And it has to be a mental effort. David, with all the pressures, began to get his mind off of it. Saul had cast a javelin at him, I think, twice now. And he's getting tired of it. He's getting tired of this guy trying to kill him. But he should have said to himself, I'm going to be king. God is going to see me through these problems. And he should have told Michal, his wife, M-I-C-H-A-L, not A-E-L. Michal, God has anointed me to be king. There's nothing that your father can do. I am going to stay put. But instead, he heeded to the words of his wife. It said in verse 12, so Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image. Now, this is where all the lies begin. The moment you get out of God's will, the moment you get away from God's presence, you are going to have to connive. You're going to have to let it be a dog-eat-dog world. You're going to have to deceive. You're going to have to lie. You're going to have to cheat. And this is what it says, and Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair of his bolster and covered it with a cloth. This is verse 13. Now I'm in verse 14. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he is sick. Was that true? No. Was he in the bed? No, she was already lying. And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed that I may slay him. And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. Not only did she lie, and I realize, you know what, there are people in this world who will say, well, she had to lie. He was in danger. Can I tell you something? Rahab the harlot even. You've heard about Rahab. Rahab was a godly woman. I believe that. But do you know what the Bible says? When it talks about Rahab the harlot, it says that she received the messengers and sent them out another way, but it did not applaud her lie. Never in the Bible will you ever find the Bible saying that what Rahab did was good when it came to lying to those men. I believe that if she said, well, I cannot lie, now, I realize all of the things behind it. What I'm saying is God doesn't justify a lie no matter what. Amen. And the Bible says this. It says that to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I know that Rahab the harlot probably didn't have a Bible. And so it's possible that she probably didn't even know she was supposed to do that. But you do.
Amen.
And Michal, not only did she lie, but she also dishonored her father, didn't she? Now, I realize that what he was trying to do was also bad, but it should have been an act of faith, and David went down. He got lowered down out of the window. Then he goes and he continues the lies. He shows up at Ahithophel's place. I'm not Ahithophel. Was it Abiathar? I can't remember his name. The high priest. And shows up there, and the high priest says, what are you doing here? There's not a lot of people with you. And he says, well, I've been sent on a hasty errand for the king. You got anything to eat? Well, you're running an errand for the king. Didn't he send you some food? Well, it was very hasty. We didn't have anything to eat. And hey, you got any weapons? Weapons? Aren't you with the king? Yes. It was hasty. I forgot my weapon. You got a weapon. You know what's really ironic to me? The weapon that priest had was the sword of Goliath. He said, well, I do have a weapon. It's the sword of Goliath. It's right here. And David said, There is no sword like that one. Give it to me. Was that true? There's another sword that's a lot mightier than the sword of Goliath. Young people, when you begin to walk away from God, suddenly you will forget the word. You will forget the messages that were preached. You will forget these things. And suddenly, the victories that you wrought over those things that were trying to bring you down, the joys that you had in serving Jesus, those very victories that you had, you're going to take those enemies that you conquered and you're going to make them your greatest weapon. And that's what David did. David went on. It turned out that the priest and all of his family was killed as a result of all these lies. And David continued and continued. He was even lying to his enemies. Achish, he ended up in the camp of the Philistines. The very enemies that he chased off. He stood there, defied the giant, took off his head, and Israel went after that army. And he found himself joined up in the ranks of the Philistines because he walked away from God and he was marching with the Philistines. He couldn't bring himself to kill the Israelites, and so he lied to his leader, Achish. Achish says, "Where have you been today?" "Oh, we really whipped up on the Benjamites. Yeah, and Judah, we tore them to pieces." That wasn't true, though. He was somewhere else. He had conquered another enemy, but he told Achish that he had defeated his own people. And Achish said, "Boy, this guy's made himself to stink with his own people. He's going to be with me forever." But it was all a lie. And eventually, David ended up in a place where his whole life was in shambles. His houses were burned. His wives taken. Everything in his life had been carried off. Because he had lied. I'm going to tell you this right now, okay? I told you that there may be one young person here within the sound of my voice who will not listen to me. If you haven't listened to me up to this point, I do want you to listen to this one thing. If you do choose to forsake your God and walk away from Him, and when you find out that the things that were said from this pulpit are indeed true, can I encourage you at that time when your life is in shambles to encourage yourself in the Lord your God the way that David did? David got to a place where he had lost everything, and finally he bowed himself down and he said, "Lord, I haven't talked to you in a long time, but I need you now." Do you think that the Lord said, "Ha! You think I'm going to help you now? You walked off on me? Abandoned me for the world? No way!" No. God said, "Go after that enemy, and you'll take everything back that was taken from you." You know why? Because God is a loving God. Amen. There was a young lady, my wife just talked to her the other day, caught up on drugs and all this other garbage. Marianne said, "You know what? You need to come back. You need to come back to God." And she said, "I don't know how. I don't think that He'll listen to me. I don't think He'll accept me." Didn't she? Marianne said, "That's the point. Is that no matter what you've done, He is such a God of love."
Amen.
"That just like that prodigal son, do you know that when you are running from Him, and after you've been away from Him for years, away from church for years, He's going to be just like the prodigal son's father. He's going to be looking out the window waiting for you. The moment you stepped away from Him is the moment He'll be waiting for you to come back. He'll be looking out the window. He'll be waiting anxiously for you to return. And when you do, He will run out to meet you. And He'll give you the best that He has. And He'll say, 'Welcome home.'"
Amen.
And you may have scars and you may have difficulties, but He'll help you to fix it all. But can I encourage you, finally, and I'm done. Don't get to that point. stay with him. Things are going to get hard. Job offers are going to come, and you may have to turn one down. There are going to be difficulties. You're going to think at times that you've met the love of your life, but if the love of your life does not go to church, I don't care how much he talks about God. And I'm telling you, they got all the words. Ladies, there are guys in this world that can sweet talk and make you think they are in love with God because you are. But if they don't go to church, if they don't know where their Bible is, if they don't know about how to be saved, if they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, if they try to avoid church at all costs, well, baby, I gotta go to work. I can't go to church and all this stuff. Then ditch him.
Amen.
The only man for you is a man who's following after God. And if you can't find one, then just don't.
Amen.
Trust in him. I've known a lot of ladies who live by themselves, and they say, I would much rather live by myself than to live with some of the scum that these young girls have desperately married because they didn't think they ever would. But can I tell you something? If that's your desire, if it's your desire to marry, God will bring you a husband. God will bring you a wife. He'll give you the desires of your heart. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and is not withholding the request of his lips. Pray for your wife. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I had a wife in mind when I was your age. I was about 15 years old. This is no joke. I prayed for a girl with black hair and green eyes. And I got her. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Yeah, I was detailed, you know. Well, that's kind of biased, isn't it? You know, it's kind of, you know. Well, you know what? That's my preference. I like, when I was younger, I said, you know what, Lord, you told me to pray for anything. I'd like to have a wife with dark hair and green eyes. And God gave it to me. I didn't really know how to pray, but I just took God at his word. Stay close to him and he'll give you everything. Thou hast given him his heart's desire and it's not withholding the request of his lips. The Bible says that, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. But don't expect a good ending without God in your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this time we can be together. I do. I love these young people. And Lord, I pray that you would just help each and every one of them to make the right choice. I pray that they, with the pressures that come in their life, I pray that they would choose you. And Lord, we do pray that you would just be with each one of them, that they would follow after you and pursue you always. Stay close to you. We pray for those who have gone astray, those whose lives are broken, those who have called us. I do pray that they'd come back. There's so many of them that feel like they can't. I pray that they would know that we would love them and accept them if they came back. Lord, just let them know that that little church is still here and that they can come back. Help us as adults to be the example that we need to be for our young people. Help them to, Lord, I pray that you would give us the fire that we need to show these young people that God is real and that he's real in our life. Help us to exhibit that we need him desperately. There is no other way that our young people will be convinced unless they see the love of Christ filling us and overflowing us. And I just thank you for all that you're going to do. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, just for a moment, if you would.